This morning's scripture reading is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 31 through 34. So please follow on the monitor or your pew Bible from page 14. Jesus put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He told them yet another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. Jesus told the crowds all these things in parables. Without a parable, he told them nothing. So when's the reading?
So you have 2 very short parables, and today we're going to try to unpack what Jesus might have been trying to tell us through those. And they obviously center on things from the kitchen. It's a place I like to spend a lot of time because I consider myself a foodie. If you don't know that expression, I think most of you are foodies because I watch you after church on Sunday morning. So I think there's some fellow foodies in the room with me. There are people who enjoy a bit of that good stuff, or you enjoy preparing it. I find cooking to actually be quite therapeutic. But I decided in putting this sermon together that Jesus was a foodie. So just bear with me for a moment, and you'll see what I have in mind. Next Sunday, the story is about the feeding of 5,000. He obviously was the good Jewish mother throwing the dinner party, wondering if everyone would have enough to eat, right? How many of you have been host at a party and wanted to make sure there was enough in your dishes to serve everyone there? You want to be a good host. Think of all the stories we have in the Gospels where he's having dinner at someone's home. Everywhere he goes, he's kind of looking for that place to eat, right? Even on Easter, story you don't often hear because it's an Easter afternoon story. He goes to Emmaus, and how did they know him? When he broke the bread. And think about when he went to a wedding in Cana. We get the sense that his mother wanted him to turn the water into wine, but I have a feeling Jesus was a little upset that they had run out of the good stuff and did something to take care of it. You see, he is a foodie. The Gospels prove that to us. So what are we to do with these 2 stories taken from the kitchen cupboard? So Jesus walked in and used 2 everyday images. Mustard seeds, you've got them probably in your refrigerator, and yeast. And he used them to talk about the kingdom of heaven. Now this is where you need to have a little tiny background of what that means. It's not what you think. It's not that hope that someday I'll die and go to heaven. It's not that place. Jesus is talking about the here and the now. So if you want a better way to think about these teachings, Jesus is saying basically, you're living in the world as it is. That's not so well. But you have the capacity within yourselves to change the world, to make it more like the world that God intends it to be and has a desire for you to live in that kind of world, but you have to be part of building that world. So all of these parables that he gives to us as teachings, and in this particular text it says everything you need to know is found in a parable because the things you don't need to know can't be found in them. A little odd twist that they give at the end of these 2 teachings. Has the power of wisdom, these stories. The world is not perfect, but it's a world that's striving to be with our help, our partnering with Jesus to create this better world. So instead of saying the kingdom of heaven is like, he should have said, if you want to build a better world, this is how you do it. So the first is he took mustard seed. I told you you had it in your refrigerator, and some of you looked a little puzzled. It's that French's bottle of that yellow wonder. that you put to spice up your sandwich or your hot dog. He didn't have the luxury of pulling the French's bottle out of his refrigerator, but he took the source of that yellow wonder, and it's the tiniest of seeds. I could hold it up like this, and most of you wouldn't be able to see it. And yet it has great power. You know the power that it has to enhance food. He talked about the power it had to grow a tree large enough for birds to build their nest. The whole point of the mustard seed is it might seem tiny, and yet in its tininess there is power, because it has the ability to spread and grow and do great things. You are that mustard seed. You have within you what may seem like nothing, but if you use your gift, you have the power to do great things. You know, we come on Saturday and we hand out canned goods, or we go on Sunday night and serve a meal once a month to homeless families, or you go participate in some march or rally, or you write off a letter to a congressperson or your senator or some elected official trying to do something about some of the issues in the world. And you wonder, when you do those things, does it really make any difference? I will tell you, yes, it makes a difference. And I know that through the parable of the mustard seed. You and I are not going to fix the problems of hunger and homelessness. You will not see it eradicated in your lifetime. But you can come and volunteer for the food pantry or for Union Station and know that you are making a tangible difference to a group of people for whom hunger is an issue. And I would imagine many of us have a guest room, a guest bedroom in our homes that sit empty. What would happen if each one of us would simply turn those rooms that sit empty day or night after night, if you will, turn them into a rental for someone who struggles with affordable housing right here in our own community, and renting them out a room that they could afford? Do you realize how you would change that issue? If you're worried about the struggle of children, there are so many needs out there for how our children are doing or not doing in the world right now. You're not going to fix it all. But what if you gave up of your time to help just one child with their homework or to read? Do you know how you would change his or her life? Or what if you gave up a Saturday once a month or every other week to be a big brother or a big sister in that program and mentored a young person who needed your positive influence in their life? Just think what you would do to give him or her some hope for the future and a good foundation to build their life. You and I are not going to do anything to make a dent in the millions of people around the world who find themselves in immigrant, refugee, on-the-move situations, leaving behind homes and places in which they can no longer live for a myriad of reasons. But you know, this church could get together and we could sponsor one refugee family. And by putting our efforts together, we can make the difference in one family's life, and that would be more than we're doing now. That's what Jesus is talking about with this little mustard seed in his hand and the kind of power that you have. If you don't like the world as it is, then do something about it. The power is right here in you. In your mustard seed. Then he goes on to talk about yeast, leaven, as they say in the text. It's, you know it as yeast. Now, if you bake, You know all the difference in the world that yeast brings to that process, because without yeast, the world would be nothing but crackers. You would not enjoy those Sunday morning donuts. You would not enjoy that basket of bread they bring to you at the restaurant before the meal and fill you up on before anything else comes to the table. You would not enjoy that warm toast in the morning. Can you imagine life? No, get me wrong, I like crackers, but could you imagine life with only crackers? It'd be kind of dull and boring after a while, wouldn't it? Think of the joy that yeast brings into your life. And all it takes is a little bit to do something amazing, but it has to have other ingredients with it to work. Nobody eats just yeast, trust me. You mix it with other things to have its impact. 19 years ago this month, the Axe Food Pantry that is housed here opened its doors on the first Saturday in February and began serving the working poor, the people who struggle to make ends meet, to have some canned goods to get through the week. When I came as your pastor, I started meeting with the Axe group. It's the little clergy and community group here in Altadena who congregations try to get together and see what we can do. They weren't doing much when I arrived, and I said, "What are we doing?" That was the answer. So I said, "Well, why don't we work together and address some issues? What about X, Y, and Z?" And I started throwing out some things, and thrown back at me were all of the excuses that you could imagine this church and their congregations use. "Oh, we're too small to do anything like that." Well, that's the whole point of the yeast parable. If you go around with your excuses, "We're too small to do that," you will never do anything. You will only be a victim of your excuses. So we went down to the Ecumenical Council of Pasadena Area Congregations, is what they call it now. You know it as Friends Indeed today on Washington and Los Robles. And we said, "Come tell us what you think the needs are in our community." And they right off the bat said, "One thing we cannot do now is provide food for people on Saturdays. We got them covered Monday through Friday. On Sundays, we can send them out somewhere to get a hot meal, to get a bag of food, to get something. But on Saturday, we've got nowhere to send them." That was all we needed. The rest is history. 19 years later, we were the first group. Now there are others, but we were the first group in the greater Pasadena area to meet the need of Saturday. One need, 2 hours a week, it's not a big deal. But it took all those little groups coming together to see that if we shared that ministry, that 6 congregations could pull this off. And we've been feeding people ever since. That is the parable of the yeast at work. This week, we celebrated the first anniversary of a tragic shooting in Florida at the Marjorie Parkman High School on Valentine's Day. That was the first of our national shooting disasters where we did something beyond just struggle with it in pain in our communities, where they really took it to the next level. And it was high school students who did that. In one high school who said, "No more." They gave up their pursuit of their education, some of them. They just took this on as their passion. Some dropped out for a year so they could commit themselves to just this task of going around our country and trying to make a difference. You know the March for Our Lives movement. Some of you walked last spring in downtown LA because of those students in Florida putting on those rallies all around the country. And with every election we've had since then, they have been there in places around the country being vocal advocates for gun reform. I hope their yeast doesn't stop now, but keeps going. In November, we went to Japan. We got to meet up with Jeffrey Menzendick, whom you have met here, who is our mission partner in Japan. He's there because we help him be there. But he could not survive off of the $500 a year that we give to his support. That's not even a week's worth of his needs to survive. But if you think of all of the UCC and Disciples of Christ churches who put into that mission partner sponsorship program their $500, all of the mission partners that we have around the world doing the work that Jeffrey and others are doing, that is yeast at work. So when you look at your annual budget and you see $500 going off to Jeffrey, don't ever think, oh, that's just something we can cut. It won't make a difference. Don't ever cut something like that, because that is yeast at work in the world. It may seem insignificant, but without that kind of support, those mission partners would not be doing what they do. We could all come up with excuses. We do it all the time. But the more you live with your excuses, the less you will live, trust me. Free yourself up to the possibilities of what mustard seeds and yeast can do for you. It's what Jesus had in mind with these parables and all of the parables that he shared. To become something larger than yourself at the moment. If you don't like the world you're living in and you're not doing something about it, then you only have yourself to blame. That is the power of the message of these parables. Because you have the tools in your hand. You have you, and you have your God-given gifts. You have your talents, you have your time, you have your treasures, you have your energy, and I hope you have your compassion. And if you set that loose in the world, and you find others who have those passions who will join with you and turn them loose in the world, think of what you might just do with your little mustard seed or your little yeast being mixed in with the flour of others. See what great things you might accomplish. No one may ever know of it. There's nothing wrong with that. But I think it's truly a matter of how can you live with yourself. If you just sit around complaining about the way things are and don't do anything to be a change agent, then you're not a mustard seed or yeast. These are change agents. Change agents have power. You have the power. Jesus has shown us how this morning. They're right there in your kitchen cupboard, and they're right there in your human heart. Amen.